What's up, everyone? This is Jay, aka Brother Soap, welcoming you to the 58th episode of the British Soap Podcast. I am here with my girl, the rainy to my steward, a Miss Lenz. What's the deal, baby?
Hey, how are you doing? I like that one.
Well, that depends on if you're mad at me for ditching my cancer treatment to light a candle by Goop. This is why I was asking you about Goop last week.
Oh, Goop. Oh, Lord, Goop.
I mean, I heard that it's going to heal all things, right? It's something about the smell of the pusuana that just cures everything, cures kids.
Oh, my God, I can't.
I mean, Stuart is going to town with this whole alternative therapy thing. I mean, he was so dedicated to it, he had to run out the hospital with all his cute ass showing.
Yep.
I was surprised by that. I'm like, okay, them some sheer underwear. I'm here for it, though. What did you think about that, this whole, you know, Stuart embracing the holistic treatment? Because Gene mentioned that some people sometimes do alternative therapies.
You know, it's kind of like a whatever floats his boat thing. He's going to figure out it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And then he's going to end up, I hope anyway, that he's going to end up getting the surgery done. Because I've grown to like him.
Yeah.
From when he first popped up on the show, and now that he's with Rainey and everything, they're both rather likable now, more than they were back when they were first behind. So,
I'm hoping that, you know, he gets his head out of his backside and, you know, gets the surgery, but at the same time, it's just like, that's totally his choice, and if he's, you know, wanting to try different alternatives before he goes the surgery route and it gets worse, that's on him.
Yeah. And unless EastEnders is going to play it like he has one of the more aggressive types of breast cancers, like his character will have a little bit of time to play with alternative therapies. Like a couple of months is not going to make a huge difference, but
yeah,
it's an interesting storyline. And I have encountered this in my own work. Some individuals really do cling to alternative therapies, even when, you know, the evidence shows, you know, it's not the best at treating cancer. But some of those therapies are hard. You know, I went through radiation myself. I thought that was okay, but I did have some long-term side effects. You know, some individuals that do radiation longer than I did, they have to deal with burning skin, pain in the site area, and they're kind of concerned about what radiation will do to the body. I've heard a lot more people that are concerned about doing both surgery and chemo, which, because of my situation, I got to avoid. But Jesus Christ, that chemo can take everything out of your body. You know what I'm saying?
It does. So, yep, I have somebody who actually had breast cancer in my family at one point. So, yeah, I know how it can be.
Yeah, and so I understand people's reticence to take that. And I also understand people's, you know, being concerned about doing surgery, because there's been such a history in the U.S. of, you know, people knowing others who've had bad surgical outcomes, or, you know, there's a thought out there that if you, you know, open up somebody, you know, that will help spread the cancer, which actually is a thing in very small circumstances. It's something that I thought was a total myth before I worked a job in cancer. But then I realized, oh, this is a real thing that happens. Like, very, 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 very rarely, but it is a thing. And so people kind of hear that and they're like, oh my God, well then maybe I shouldn't get surgery because I don't want this shit to spread, right? So, yeah, but I think it's interesting how, I think the Stuart Rainey Callum aspect of this is interesting, looping Ben into it is totally unnecessary and making Rainey and Stewart's story about him absolutely ridiculous. But prior to this time, I feel like everything about the storyline pre-Ben using it to make a point, I think it's been played really well, and I'm very interested in seeing how it goes going forward. You know?
Same.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, are you still mad at Callum for accusing Pam of being a homophobe, Mama?
Oh, yeah, I was from the second he did it. I'm just like, dude, no, that's not okay. Because he didn't even hear the full of the conversation.
Correct.
He just heard the last tail end of it.
Correct.
So he's just basically going off what he heard rather than the whole thing, which really made me mad. So,
you know, and Pam played that shit well. Like, you know, you and I watched the show when that went down. We watched Ben and Paul fall in love. That kid who played Paul was such a damn beautiful light. Like, it was so good. And we felt the pain of his murder. Like, that was about, I think that was like the last month or two of Dom Treadwell Collins' time.
Yep.
Like, that was tough. And Dom was just showing the reality of life out here that, you know, gay people are still out here getting killed. Like, everything is not over, right? And I think the way that that played out at the time was excellent. We knew why it was happening. It was hard to watch. It was heart-wrenching. But the point was made. And I thought that was important. And so I appreciated Pam drawing upon that pain when she was talking to Ben. And also when she countered what Callum was implying. Because sister was like, first of all, I encouraged Paul to be out and proud his entire life. So don't you dare, you know, sit in my face and dare to tell me how I'm going to feel after he is now gone, you know? And I thought it was also, you know, well played, you know, the thought that she might think now that it was a poor decision for her to say that her grandson should be out, because she feels like that's part of the reason why he is no longer alive. Like, that's a deep pain, and that's hard for people to process. So, and logically, it makes sense that she would draw that conclusion, you know. I tend to think that's more grief talking than the truth of the situation, because you definitely don't want anybody living a lie. And I think somebody at some point during that conversation, I think Callum did at one point, and he was on point with that. And I think it was when he first encountered Ben and heard the tail end of what Pam had said. He talked about how, you know, forcing people to live in a closet can also lead to their death. Real talk, suicide is a thing, 100%. So, and that was a good point. But that whole conversation, that exchange, like, powerful, impactful, infuriating on a lot of levels. But, whew, that was some good work, I think, on EastEnders' part. You know, and I think Sister the Place, Pam, and even Callum, they did good work with regards to that story. Other parties in that story I will have issues with later, but yeah, that was interesting. Yes. All right. So this week we're going to be focusing on EastEnders and Hobie City, which we will get to after the credits. So stay tuned, and that's what we're going to do. So, if you all have a question about British soaps, or there ends up being something that we did not talk about today that you would have liked us to have discussed, head over to britishsoappodcast.tumblr.com to shoot us an ask, or hit us up on the Twitterations at UK Soap Podcast. Baby girl, let us take it to Albert the Square. What did EastEnders do to make you say, what in the hell, Chelsea, Gray, Ben?
I have a whole... And all three of those three are mentioned in it. I'm not even kidding. The first one I'm going to mention is how 360 or 180 degrees Chelsea goes on both Whitney and Kira. I don't know if it's part of her plan or whatever the case may be, but she's treating them like garbage and treating Gray like he's $10 million. And I'm just like, dude, no, uh-uh. What happened to awesome Chelsea? Well, Chelsea was never awesome, but she at least had, you know, some sort of fighting spirit in her. And I understand, you know, it was because of the baby and everything. But I mean, like, I'm kind of over her.
Yeah.
Because I mean, like, she at least had some sort of fighting spirit, wanting to leave, trying to run away. And now she's just like, yeah, no, not going to do that anymore because I'm sad. I understand, you know, babies almost die, especially when they're that early. He was, you know, a month and a half early or something like that. I don't remember. But, yeah, it's just like, I hope it's part of a plan. But based on how she's acting, I'm not entirely sure.
So I am exhausted by Chelsea. And this Chelsea Gray storyline takes me back to one of the most hated storylines I have ever watched. It is Maxine and Patrick take 72,000. Because what were we bitching at Maxine about all those years ago? She was in the abusive situation. She got out of the abusive situation. And then she walks right back into the abusive situation for no reason. We watched that storyline drag on for 2 years. And Maxine mostly just stayed in the abusive story for no reason. Got some kind of act of abuse done to her at least once a month for 2 years. And for what? Just to exhaust the audience. This is where we are with Chelsea. Chelsea knows that the man that she is with is an abuser, and she's choosing to stay with him for no logical reason. It makes no sense. And there is no plan that she has that is wise. And the whole, I'm going to stay with an abusive guy because he impregnated me. That's just stupid. So, like, I'm not feeling this storyline. I have seen it done before. It does not end well. And it has no point. Like, I never understand how, you know, keeping people who are, you know, aware of abusers in abusive situations, like, I just don't get how that's supposed to expect, like, help the audience, right? So I'm over it. I'm to the point now where I'm like I was with Hollyoaks. I'm fast-forwarding past the Chelsea and Gray scenes, like I fast-forwarded past the Chantal and Gray scenes. Because I can't do another abusive storyline. I'm done. I've seen all of the abusive storylines I care to see in a history of soaps. I'm over it. I'm done. Mm-hmm. Until Gray's murdered. Like, and we can get a new part of the storyline, cool. But Greg gotta go. I don't want to see him abuse another person or manipulate another person. I'm over it.
Same. I'm done. I'm done with him.
Yeah.
He can go, you know, take care of his baby with who's her face from Emmerdale, who has the baby on there.
Really? Oh, great. And, you know, I'll just say to throw in my Chelsea related what the hell's like, because Chelsea knows that this is an abusive guy, because she's already seen Chantel's words, it's ridiculous how EastEnders has her acting surprised that he does things like put a camera at the door so he can tell that she's lying about when she said she left the house, or him sneaking to get his child named with his last name. Like, Chelsea is acting shocked. How could the guy that I know is controlling and manipulative and abusive do those things I didn't see it coming.
What?
It's so stupid. It's so stupid.
Like, we saw it coming.
Oh, God. I can't. It's just ridiculous. And now she's pushing her mother away and saying, Mom can't see the baby. And also, I didn't like how, you know, she was hateful towards Denise for, you know, basically Denise falling for one of Gray's lies. You know, Denise was trying to go see her daughter, and Gray was like, she needs some space. So Denise respected that. And then when Denise does come around, Chelsea's like, how could you leave me here to suffer, Bob? I have a sick kid, Mom. Why don't you act like you give a damn about your grandson, Bob? And I'm just like, girl, how are you going to expect life to stop just because you got a sick fucking kid? And like, nobody gives a fuck. Like, fuck you and your baby. Like, what?
Yeah, it also didn't help that she saw stuff on Facebook or Instagram first saying, we, you know, that was what triggered it. That wasn't, and she didn't just up and say, why aren't you coming to visit? She saw something based on that day that she was invited to, and Gray told her no.
Yeah.
Or told Denise no.
But at the end of the day, she also knew that Gray abused his last wife. So let's do perspective here. What is more important, you tripping off a post on Facebook or you tripping over a dead girl telling you that the man she was abusive? Like, which one of those things is the greater ill? You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
You know, it's just like, you know, people getting upset over minor things and totally accepting horrible things that put their lives and their child's lives in danger. I'm over it. So, yeah, I'm done with Chelsea. Whatever happens, happens. I just need the storyline over because it's annoying me and I'm done with it. Yeah. Well, that's my 2 cents on that. What about you? What other what the hells did you have for the EastEnders?
I want to know what possessed the dude to give Honey the head person job at the market. I mean, like, I understand why Martin didn't take it. Martin wanted, you know, Stacy to, you know, have a fair shake at the job and stuff. And she didn't do a good job, as we well know. But now Honey is doing it. She's already overwhelmed. And I'm just like, I'm not sure I'm feeling this. She's probably gonna last as long as Stacy did before her brain explodes. But I mean, like, it could also, you know, lead to, you know, her and something happening, you know. I don't know. I mean, I don't particularly care for it. I think it's gonna blow up in her face, but we'll see. Because, you know, that market's like a big thing, and they're giving one of the most scatterbrained people the job for it, you know? I'm not sure I understood what their, you know, criteria was.
What did you think of that moment between Sookie and Stacy's wife?
I kind of like Eve. I think she's stupid for, you know, going and working for Gray. But aside from that, I kind of like where her character's going, especially since we know her and Stacy's wedding is kind of a sham.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of like where it's going. And I'm kind of curious where if they're going to do the Sookie Eve route instead. Because I kind of liked that scene, actually. It was very insightful.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that was actually one of my scenes of the week. So you kind of just, you know.
It was unexpected.
It was nice, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think I'm feeling Sookie and Honey, because Honey's straight. I mean, if they're going to make her bisexual, cool.
Yeah.
If not, it's fine too. But Eve was interesting. So
mm-hmm.
It seemed like the show was setting it up to be like, you know, maybe Eve has been with, the way she was like, I know people like you. I was wondering if Eve had already clocked that she was pretending to be straight and she wasn't really. Mm-hmm. Or she was more talking about the homophobic route. But Eve,
I'm like, that could go either way. She's smarter than she lets on.
I mean, she's an attorney, so
yeah,
she's not too stupid. And
yeah,
there was an interesting vibe. So I don't know. I think Eve and Sookie would be interesting as well. But I have to see. We got to feel it out, because that whoever ends up with Sookie, however that goes, that's going to be a very volatile situation, as you remember.
As long as it's not Peter.
Well, I actually like Sookie and Peter. Like, I think that is a perfect pairing. So, you know, we talked about Sookie and Honey being interesting together, but Sookie and Eve might too. So I don't know what they're going to do with her, because, you know, when you're, you know, gay and you're dealing with internalized homophobia, that's a tough thing to get past, you know. But I think, depending on how EastEnders plays it, this Sookie and whoever she ends up with thing, that has the potential to be very interesting. Extremely interesting.
Indeed.
I think I mentioned this the last time we focused on EastEnders, but I'm going to mention again, because as long as EastEnders keeps doing this, it's going to continue to be stupid. So Ash has now left town, and Vinny and his brother, like, expected Sookie to call Ash and, like, welcome her back home. Like, that's not going to happen, bros.
Again. That's not going to happen, dude.
That's not going to happen. Your mother is responsible for your brother being dead. She told Jax to go to jail and confess to a crime he didn't commit to protect Vinny, and he ended up dead. She ain't gonna crack to, you know, have her lesbian daughter who reminds her of what her life could be. She's not gonna welcome that into her space, so just stop, you know?
Yeah, so. It's like, just be done. She's gone, she's out, just deal with it.
Yeah, 100%. So, yeah. That's all my words on Miss Sookie. Now, what else she got for your EastEnders, boo?
I'm kind of over the entire, I mean, you know, between Ben watching Callum getting beaten up and learning that his dad's going to jail for the rest of his life, which we kind of have a feeling isn't going to happen, his downward spiral of, oh my God, I hate being gay, I'm not going to let anybody know that I'm married to you, blah, 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 I'm out there. I'm gonna make sure that you hate me so that you don't have to be with me anymore, and you can be sick. That killed me. I was just like, what kind of stupid logic is that?
Yep.
And then it all comes down to Sharon, somebody that he absolutely despises, coming in and telling him to fake it, to come in with a big grin on his face and break into a party and say, hey, if you're going to arrest Callum, you're going to arrest me too. As if they were never having issues in the first place. I'm just like, what? I don't understand. I don't understand Ben Mitchell's brain. I think he needs a psychiatrist. Badly.
Yep.
Actually, the entire Mitchell family needs a psychiatrist, but that's the thing.
Yep. You know I'm with you on that, baby girl. I think I sent you a message as I was watching, like, saying that this Ben storyline has taken every annoying turn that I thought it might take.
Yep. And you got to that episode where he's all happy again, and you're like, yep, that happened.
I mean, so what was the situation? So we had Ben getting in the face of homophobes, which led to an attack that saw his white husband hurt, and a Muslim woman hurt, a lesbian hurt, and you know there were multiple people of color, multiple women involved in the storyline, and so there were a lot of places that this storyline could go involving multiple people. But what happened very quickly? Ash is ushered off the canvas. Eve is given other things to do other than worry about her assault. So then the only people that you've got, you know, left to worry about things are the white gays, Callum and Ben. Callum is the one who got beat up. So why is the man pain that EastEnders has chosen to focus on Ben Mitchell, whose only pain is sitting there like a chump while his man got beat the fuck up, and sitting there like a chump when his actions was the main thing that ended up leading his husband to be beat up? Like, it's ridiculous. Yep. So the story that could have been about lesbians, people of color, and the pain that they dealt with, having to deal with, you know, multiple layers of sexism and racism and homophobia, all that goes away, and all we're doing is focused on one white guy's pain. One white guy's pain who can pass for straight, right? Because he's talking about, so now we're going back in the closet, so I can't. So Ben said something to the effect of, you know, he is not going to be wearing a pride pin, right? Because if he doesn't have a pride pin on, then people aren't going to know that he's gay. Okay.
Except everybody in the stupid town knows that he's gay.
But I mean, if you're worried about strangers, congratulations for you. Can we have a conversation about how black, Latino, Arab people that also happen to be gay can't just rip off their skin color so they can be invisible to homophobes? Can we have a conversation about that? Why is the option passing? Why is passing for straight the better option? And how does that make you more of a man? We're not having that conversation, right? Nope. Why are we focused on Ben being hurt and not Callum being pissed off at his husband for sitting up there like a chump while he got his ass beat? Like, why is that conversation not happening? Why are we having to have Ben have this whole, you know, Ben's treating everyone like crap, but we have to have this whole kumbaya moment where Ben is standing up to another white guy who's trying to arrest some gay people to feel better about himself? Like, I just don't understand. I just don't understand. Again, this is ridiculous. Ben, when he was first on the show, was this cute little kid, very feminine, singing and dancing. And I think I read at the time, the producer, I think that was Diedrich Santer at the time, thought it'd be interesting to put that man in with hard Phil Mitchell as a dad, because that dynamic would be interesting to explore, right? Yep. But over the years, they've kind of, well, I think with this particular incarnation of Ben, they've kind of, you know, gone full bit of some thug and some gangster, even though this thug was didn't even have sense enough to know his dad was damn near bankrupt when he first came onto the show and tried to steal his dad's money. His dumb decisions as a gangster led to his sister being kidnapped, which is not a very masculine thing to do, to get your sister kidnapped. You know what I'm saying? And he was like trying to kill his dad and stuff. Right? This is hard man Ben. So you were cool with your sister being kidnapped, your daddy's taking all his money and making him homeless. You can get inside, get into a homophobe's face and talk a bunch of shit to get your man beat up, but you can't get up to defend your man. And then even more than that, then you're going to get so caught up in your own emotions that you can't even emotionally support your man who is dealing with his brother dealing with a cancer diagnosis. Like, what? Like, I don't understand the point of this. Like, some of us already hated this version of Ben. Like, why are we getting more of a reason to do that? Like, I just don't understand. This is stupid. I need it to stop.
Yep.
You know, I'm going to be like you right now. I don't care about this. Like, I don't care about any more pain from Ben. Give me pain from other characters. We've done enough of Ben's pain. Let's move on. It's not interesting. And it makes no sense. You know, he's giving these big soliloquies like he was in the role when Paul died. You weren't the Ben at the time. This doesn't ring true for you. This doesn't ring true.
Yeah. I'm like, no. It doesn't sound right coming from this guy.
No.
If it was the cute nerdy Ben, yes. Then yeah. Sure.
If it was Harry Reid who was still in the role, this might resonate a little bit more. But no, I can't. I'm over it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, he's even saying lines like I'm thinking. I mean, you should want to get a divorce from me. I mean, I just sit up there and let you get your ass beat. All right, Callum, take off your ring. Okay. Callum's like, come see me in an hour if you want to be married to me. And Ben's like, I'll take my time. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay, dude. Well, if you're going to be straight, be straight. Let's move on. Let's focus on Callum finding a guy who is about him and about his life and is proud to be who he is.
That clearly ain't going to happen. You know.
Some over closet Ben. I need this story to die.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Did you have any other what the hells, ma'am?
This one was more kind of funny than it was angering to me. And though it was kind of angering to me at the same time, it's another Chelsea related one because, you know, we have to have Chelsea in abundance. But you know, she's kind of Kirat away, and Kirat's being all vulnerable and cute and, you know, him. And and Whitney's like, This is BS. I'm done. I'm gonna go over there and talk some sense into it. So she goes over there and they have a fight, and Chelsea just starts screaming at her. And I honestly burst out laughing. I hate saying that, but I did. She is not there's just something about her angry which doesn't sound genuine enough to me.
I hear you.
So when she beat her hands against that island, my face just burst into giggles, and I was just like, how is that supposed to be believable?
Yeah. I find myself...
That's gray material right there. What are you trying to do? Become your husband?
That's Fletch material.
Yeah, but Fletch did it well, and Fletch did it good.
Correct. Exactly. I will be honest, I fast-forwarded past that scene. I know where it was. I know it was at the end of the episode because I saw, as I fast-forwarded past it, Chelsea and Whitney. But I was done. I don't care. You know?
I truly don't care. But I was just, like, sitting there and I was watching and I was just like, she just hit her hands against the island like Gray does whenever he is angry with somebody. Should I feel sympathetic? No, not at all. And in my mind, Whitney shouldn't either. Yeah. They should just be done. Yeah. If she doesn't want to be helped, then there's no point in helping her. Yeah. Just let her do what she do.
Yeah. You can't help someone that doesn't want to help himself. I completely agree.
Yep.
Completely agree.
All right, go ahead. Your turn.
So of my what the hells, I only have two quick ones remaining. I was not feeling Donna being selfish. I think that Bobby was totally right about how Donna has only been concerned about how she was going to be affected when it came to thinking about if her brother was responsible for the bomb that was meant to go off at the club. You know?
Yep.
So, because Bobby tried to warn her. Bobby figured out early on that Aaron had something to do with it. And yep. He went to Donna with his concerns. And Donna was just like, how are you going to say this about my family? I'm going to close my eyes, plug my ears, and say, la, 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 because I don't want to hear it. And it wasn't until her own father admitted the truth that she finally accepted that Aaron was running with a racist gang, and he genuinely was responsible for what had happened. And, you know, Donna's looking at Bobby like, you warned me. You knew. You were trying to tell me. And Bobby's like, yeah, and you didn't believe me, so now we're broken up. And I was like, I'm not mad at that. Because you want a partner that's going to support you. Like, it was hard for Bobby to be real with Donna about that. And the fact that she was just so close-minded was, it was a mess. And, you know, we did see on screen, she did start to figure out that maybe he did have something to do with it. But then Aaron played her into believing that it wasn't true, you know? So,
yeah.
I kind of think that was good, because Donna has been written as like this very sweet person with zero flaws. So I think that this selfish thing was good, because it kind of showed a side of her that was not the best. And with Bobby being a person that, you know, was in jail prior to recast for killing his sister, and I think him being with somebody who, you know, has a little tarnished halo, I think is good. And I want to see Donna, you know, working to get back in Bobby's good graces, you know, because look at that king. He thought his girl was pregnant, and he's all ready to get a ring and marry a old girl. Like, it was really sweet, you know.
He was being responsible.
Right.
He was being responsible in a way a teenager should be responsible, but being kind of dumb about the responsibility.
Right. You know.
Yeah. So. Like, Keegan. Oh.
Right. And I still see, you know, some hope for Bobby and Donna, but I need her to show him more love, because he's been doing a lot, and I need that love to be reciprocated, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, there's that. And then my last one, I'm not feeling this whole Dottie, Vinny possible reunion. I feel like Keegan is on point about Dottie only using Vinny and her not having a genuine interest in him. Because when he did like her, she wasn't interested. And he rightly, you know, kicked her to the curb for her cheating and, you know, didn't have anything to do with her. And I don't like him getting caught back up in her circle.
Right? Yeah, I'm not for that either. Mm-hmm. I was just like, dude, what are you doing? You know what she's prone to. Just leave her alone and let her fight for her own issues.
And that's all I got, baby girl. So then let's go ahead and switch it to the scenes of the week. So what did EastEnders do to make you say, yeah, I like this?
Well, we already talked about one. You kind of opened it up with the opening of the show. I love the, you know, whole truck scene with Eve and Suki. I thought that was really good. Mm-hmm. But one of my favorite things was kind of like a funny one. I love how Keegan's mom and dad, I keep forgetting their names for the life of me, but I love how
Mitch
and I can't think of her name.
Karen. There it is.
But I love how
white ladies all over the world, apparently.
Blonde ladies. I love how the little girl there is going on Amazon and buying all this stuff to try to get Mitch and Karen together. I think that's precious because it's clear they have a thing for each other, and they're just like, dude, we're just friends. And I'm like, yeah, okay.
Yes.
That's the woman who's looking into the washer and saying, we're just friends, to sleep in the same bed with no clothes on.
Yes.
I actually have that in my notes in big capital bold italicized letters and underlined, because I giggled so hard. And I was just like, I think it's cute. If she wants her, you know, dad to get with, you know, Karen, then good on them, because they're good together. And you can see that they're good together. They just don't realize that they're once again good for each other again after, you know, all the stuff that's been going on with them.
Yes, I'm very much a fan of Bailey trying to get those two together. I thought it was cute as hell.
It's precious. I love her. She's just cute. I'm like, first off, where is she getting the money to go at Amazon and order all this stuff? But you know, at the same time, I'm just like, dude, you do what you do. If that's what it means to, you know, get your dad with somebody that you enjoy being with as a mom like figure, go ahead. Do what you need to do to get them together, man. And Keegan's right on board. He's just like, oh, hey, Pete. How you doing? Hi, Postman Pete. Yeah. But yeah, I totally get it. I like the idea. I think that they need to get together pronto. This whole friends with benefits thing isn't working because you know that they're really close and they just want, you know, and you know they want to get together. You know it. We all know it.
Yeah, so I do like Mitch and Kieran together. I'm not sure if they like each other, right? Because honestly, the pairing that I liked most was Kieran with Billy. Like, I thought that was really surprising and good and unexpected. I'm kind of shocked that you're doing that. Like, I don't like Billy with Honey. Like, I think that's just trash. But Billy and Karen were interesting. And Karen had Billy standing up for himself in ways that I hadn't seen before. So I thought that was good. I also have thought that Mitch might be good for Kim. That's what I thought would be an interesting pairing. I think Mitch and Kim and like seeing Kim and Bailey like trying to be a family unit, like I thought that was interesting. And I thought that EastEnders was going there with them. So I've been kind of holding out hope for, you know, those two and Karen and Billy's reuniting in the same way that like on Emmerdale, I've always wanted Bernice and Dan to be together. So, you know, Karen and Mitch are cool, but, you know, they say they're not into each other. And even if they're friends with benefits, like that may just be, you know, where their relationship stays. Because I can understand Karen had some hurt because Mitch was kind of a, you know, rolling stone for a long time. You know, we'll see what happens with it. If they stayed together, I wouldn't mind it, but I think I would still rather Karen with Billy and Mitch with Kim. So cross fingers that me speaking of that into the universe helps it actually happen. Yes. What do you think of those parents? It sounds like you weren't feeling Karen and Billy.
I didn't particularly care for Karen and Billy. I mean, like, yes, She brought him out of his shell and got him to, you know, stand up for himself. But, you know, that's about it. He went back to his normal self as soon as they broke up. And even and even though he got a nice kick in the kahunas from her earlier on in the week, it's like, I don't see it happening ever again.
I'm crossing my fingers, girl, and my toes.
Good luck with that, because I can't do that. but yeah, I mean, like, I can actually see Kim and Mitch together, though. That could be an interesting dynamic. Plus, there would be an older kid to take care of the younger kids, if necessary, too. And, you know, they could be the whole family unit, unlike the Mitchell cat family unit, which, mm-hmm. you know, doesn't exist anymore. I'm not sure I have any more. I think we mentioned my two biggest ones.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, then I guess I will jump to my scenes of the week. So I'm going to start with the most recent one that I saw. That conversation that Jean had with Harvey about cutting ties, perfection. Uh-huh. Perfection. Because, you know, Jean has a son that's been in and out of trouble with the law. Jean has a daughter that's been in and out of trouble with the law. So she knows that life of, you know, having to, you know, be there for your kids when they have, you know, been through it with the law. You know, and the episode starts with Harvey going to the jail and telling Aaron that, you know, he's cutting him off. And, you know, I was actually shocked because I thought Aaron was off the show. I didn't realize he was still on. So I was like, oh, he's still here. Great. And then that same episode, you know, Harvey's talking about leaving town. And then Gene is just like, oh, okay. So you're just going to leave town when, you know, the suicide rate is pretty high for people who, you know, are in prison and don't have familial support. So that's a thing. And also, okay, so you've been working all these years to keep your son away from racists. Now he's in a place where he's with more racists, and he doesn't have the support of family. So what's that going to mean? Now he's going to be an even bigger Nazi? And it's great because, you know, you'll be able to say, oh, I cut ties years ago. And so then he'll get out of prison, an even bigger Nazi, and do worse things. But, you know, your life will be fine because you got ties.
Yep.
Fantastic. Like, and Harvey's just sitting there thinking like, yeah, I need to go see about my son. Like, so good. I am enjoying whatever is going on between Gene and Harvey. I think it's fabulous. And I think that I like the character of Harvey. I think the way that he's, you know, kind of tried to keep his son out of harm's way and steer him away from that white supremacy is excellent. And I really love Aaron. I think he needs to be on the show. And I like Donna as well. So anything we can do to keep that family on canvas, I'm here for it. And I think that conversation between Gene and Harvey, fabulous. And I hope that means that Harvey stays and Aaron stays and gets reformed because I need it in my life.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I kind of agree. I kind of think that now that it's out in the open and everything, thanks to our dearest friend Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you don't think I'm gonna let my son marry into a terrorist family, are you?
First of all, she is his mother, so I don't know what the hell she's talking about.
Or grandson. Sorry.
No. She is Aaron's mother. We saw Hollyoaks.
That's true. I didn't think about that.
I'm just waiting for the backstory. I'm just waiting for the reveal.
but yeah, it's just like, dude, no. Now that everything's out in the open again, and Harvey's just like, dude, I know I did wrong. He's fessing up to everything, and he's being really, you know, he knows what's going to happen. It's happened numerous times before in our almost decade and a half of watching this damn show. But once, you know, Aaron gets out of jail, they're going to stare at him and give him the silent treatment, just like they did with Ben once he got out of jail after killing the person. And you know, the glares and the why is he out of jail, blah, blah, blah. And then everything's going to go back to normal again as if nothing happened. but yeah, I mean, like, it's going to take a while for this one, I think, because of the fact that main head supremacist guy is still technically out and about, even though, you know, he's not technically out and about. And then you have, like, the entire that Newcastle or wherever, or Manchester, who's like, where's he at? You know, because, you know, he's supposed to be there high and mighty now. And, you know, it's just like, there's so much stuff that can still happen with this storyline that can essentially make it more fun almost. Like, oh, your son's in jail, why don't you come instead? Or we'll do this. I mean, like, I like the story. I think the entire family is really cool. Whether you know, it goes down a deeper road or whether it stays in the, we're not going to talk to you in this way, then so be it, you know.
Well, I'm on the wiki, and it looks like Aaron is not off the show yet, so this is good. So it looks like he may be... be around for a minute. Okay, so I'm actually going to combine my next two scenes of the week because they involve the same person, which is Rainey. So first of all, I love Inspector Rainey. My girl has been a dog with a bone when it comes to her thought that Max's kid is the one that Linda gave birth to, which she was right about. And yep. There she is at the pub, just noticing the tension that obviously is going on with Nick and, you know, Linda not being back. And she just clocks it again. That baby is really Max's and not yours, isn't it? And then there's Nick going into a full panic attack mode, right?
Yep.
Over it. And what's Rainey doing? Just getting the confirmation she needs. That baby is really Max. Like, fantastic. I think she's a little delusional because I don't think that this is going to bring Max back unless Mick leaves, Max comes back, and Linda's there trying to run the pub with Max, which could be an interesting turn. I don't know if it'll happen, but we will see. But I think just how Rainey has been, you know, dogged on getting that truth, which she's 100% right about, fantastic.
Yeah.
And I liked how that storyline dovetailed with Stewart's. So, you know, Stewart hasn't been putting that thing on Rainey because he's been concerned about his cancer diagnosis. So he has convinced himself that Rainey is cheating on him with another guy to the point where he is following Rainey down the street to see where she goes and getting stopped by the Sonias of the world. And eventually he thinks he's got two and two together and he's figured out it's Mick. Because why is Rainey coming out from the pub after talking about Mick? And he overheard somebody talking to Mick about things not working out between him and Linda and him being into another woman, and Stewart has just decided that it's Rainey that's cheating with Mick. So he ain't using his brain, so he decides to express his dissatisfaction by just going and punching Mick straight up in the pub. And what does all that those shenanigans lead to? The ultimate reveal to Rainey that he has a cancer diagnosis that he's been keeping secret. And I just thought it was fantastic. It was fantastic. Months of build-up, excellent, you know, way everything tied together, and him finally breaking down that truth, just everything I wanted in the soap. And I'm surprised by how much I'm really liking Rainey and Stewart, because, you know, independently, they were not the best characters. Even initially when they got together, they weren't exactly the best. But these two coming together and trying to make a family, it's been excellent the way it's all played out. So I love that. What did you think about how all that went down, Mama?
I enjoyed it as well. I thought it was really well done. I thought the drama that went down was good. I think that the aftermath was really good too. I could live without Ben's bit, but everybody else being worried about him and him not worrying about himself, or him worrying about himself in a different way rather than the ways that everybody else is worrying about him. Like, you should get the surgery done. No, I'm getting, you know, herbal medicines and stuff. Yeah, and you know, I like where it's going. I want to see how it ends up. I'm curious. It's a good story so far.
Yeah, I totally agree. Totally agree. And my last scene of the week was just Phil saying everything to Ben that I wanted to. Just clowning how weak and pathetic he was by not defending his husband, while Ben is getting all high and mighty about Phil not wanting to grant the business to him. Like, you know, it was just kind of cathartic to hear somebody else, you know, call him a weakling and say how he couldn't even defend his husband, and he's supposed to be some big old tough guy, but every time there's a bad situation, he always folds. Like, you know, I just needed that in my life, so I had to call out.
Yep.
I had to thank Phil for that one.
Ben just needs to stop.
Yep, agreed. Stop it all. Stop it all. Yes. All right, so with that, I will say that I'm at Brother Soap.
And I'm at Lindsay Amanda.
Thank you all so much for listening. Until next time, we're sticking with the new catchphrase. Get vaxxed, wear a mask, don't let COVID kick your ass. Bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.